It's Open Mic Friday on this November the 2nd in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, the only host today for Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO, Distinctively Lutheran Theology. So you may call in and any subject you want. You don't have to stick with the subjects of which I am speaking. The numbers in the St. Louis area, 505-7850. And toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And we also take emails from around the world at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Let's start off with this one. I'm a Christian of the Baptist denomination who listens to your show from time to time when I am in the car. I mostly hear issues, etc. But my question is this. I have problems properly distinguishing law and gospel from time to time, although I now know there is a distinction thanks to KFUO. So, is there a good book or one or more of your radio programs that spell it out for this mostly illiterate law and gospel listener to learn the distinction? Well, your timing could not have been more perfect in sending this email, because I've got a couple of things to say. Concordia Publishing House has just brought out, not that long ago, a new book on C.F.W. Walther's Distinctions of Law and Gospel. And it's kind of a reader's type of edition. So it's very, very good. It's got a lot of notes in it, and you can get it just simply by contacting Concordia Publishing House. And that is another book, though, that I'd like to talk about, and that's God's No and God's Yes. It's kind of a summary of law and gospel. So, either one of them would be a wonderful book to read if you can afford it. I'd get the bigger one right now because it gives you an opportunity to get a lot of notes on it also. Now, today is an interesting day. You say you listen to issues, etc. You'll be able to listen to it for 2 hours here on KFUO beginning at 3 o'clock, but they're actually going 24 hours today. For 12 speakers, each having 2 hours, and the way you can listen to it is just go to issuesetc.org and you can hear it live through your computer. Now, the reason I mention it, I just so happen to be on from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. Central Time. They wanted me on before I normally go to bed, so that's what time I'm going to be showing up at their office, and we're going to be talking about good works. But the person before me, from 11 to 1, is Pastor Swirla, C-W-I-R-L-A, and his specific topic will be law and gospel. So I would encourage you to go to your internet at issuesetc.org and stream live to hear any of the 12 speakers beginning at 3 this afternoon all the way till 3 tomorrow at on Saturday, 3 p.m. So, thanks so much for that email. I really appreciate it, and I hope others will be able to understand exactly what we're doing here. We're really talking about how Christ is the center of all theology, and therefore, that's something that you really want to take a look at. Now, I'm going to be gone from the microphone for 5 seconds. So, if you just hold on, I have a book over on the piano I forgot to pick up. So, 5 seconds of silence coming up. Okay, I'm back. And why did I have to do that? Because I had promised today that between calls, we would be taking a look at the hymn for this coming Sunday. We're not going to take a look at the whole hymn. It's called, O God of Mercy, God of Might. O God of Mercy, God of Might. It was actually written by Godfrey Thring, T-H-R-I-N-G, who died in 1903. And what we've been doing here is taking a look at particular phrases, rather than go through the whole hymn, but particular phrases that have a really good long gospel aspect. Verse 2, I really like. "And thou," referring to Jesus himself, "who camest on earth to die, that our lost world might live thereby, O hear us, for to thee we cry, in hope, O Lord, to thee." Now notice, it doesn't read, "And thou who camest on earth to die, that Christians might live thereby." No, but that the world might live thereby. Now, what does this mean? We refer to this as objective justification, in contrast to subjective justification. Now stay with me. I'll explain it. Justification is getting right with God, where God now considers you to be a holy individual in his sight. Now, we know that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But prior to your coming to faith in Jesus Christ, something had to be done to justify you, so you didn't have to pay the penalty for your sins, and that was Christ's death on the cross. But when he died on the cross, John 3:16 indicates for whom he died. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You see, Christ died for the entire world. And therefore, the sins of the world, every person, have been forgiven. It's just that one doesn't receive the gift of eternal salvation until he receives the gift of the forgiveness of sins through faith. Now, why did God do that? I have no idea. It's kind of like Halloween night. We don't have those many children in the neighborhood, so a number of times we don't have anybody knocking on our door. And so we don't normally buy candy, but this time I thought, well, we better buy candy just in case. And my wife got some, and it was all set at the door. And about 5 o'clock, that's when you normally expect folks to come. Well, from 5 to 9, there wasn't a knock on the door at all. Which kind of pleased me, because now I've got a bunch of Snicker bars that, of course, we can't, you know, throw away. So we're going to have to use somehow. I'll figure something out. In fact, I just remembered I got one in my pocket right now. I forgot to eat on the way to the program. But anyway, we had candy for any child who came to the door. But nobody came to the door, which means nobody received our candy. Think of that kind of like what Christ has done on the cross. He has the gift of the forgiveness of sins for anyone who would receive him as Lord and Savior. And billions of people do, but many others do not. So objective justification indicates that the gift is there for anyone. And remember that Revelation 3 about, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's not talking about justification. That's talking to Christians who need to follow the will of God. But the Halloween night is, people come, they knock on the door, but they don't open the door, do they? No, the person inside the house opens the door and then delivers the candy. And that's what Christ does. He actually opens the door for you. And through faith in him, you then come to a great gift of the forgiveness of sins. You subjectively receive it, the gift that was objectively there for anyone in the world. So just before I go to the phone line, I'll summarize. Evangelism, therefore, is not if you believe you will receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins. No. Evangelism is you have the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really quite a difference. Numbers 505-7850 or long distance 1-800-730-2727. And you do not have to stay on topic. Let's go speak with Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Pastor. I'm looking at Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 and 51. And my questions are, is this a parable? And who are the characters?
In Matthew 24, 45 and 51, about the faithful servant and the evil servant?
Yes.
Well, then, who is a faithful? Let me read it, and then we can go. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portions with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you ask if it's a parable. If you take a parable in the wider sense of simply an illustration that Jesus is making, and this would be in light of Judgment Day, he's simply talking about that on Judgment Day when he comes and he finds his sheep who visited the ones in prison, gave food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, they'll go into everlasting habitation, whereas those who are evil and have done everything out of self-interest, they'll go to eternal hell.
So it's more a parable in the sense, in the mathematical sense, where you have a parabola with two sides.
Yes, I would make it identical almost to Matthew 25, wouldn't you? The sheep and the goats, because the first part is talking about the faithful and wise servant, and the second part is talking about those who are under the curse, the evil ones. And, of course, the evil ones say, well, when did we not do these things? You know, now they're going to try and use every excuse they can. So, although it's not referred to as a parable, there are some who would take the term parable to mean just a large illustration in comparing what is going to happen into the future, and therefore I wouldn't have a problem with that. Most parables that I like to call parables are those about how God is working in the church today, although the parable of the sheep and the goats talk about that judgment day also. And that is a clear parable. But notice the servant is called faithful as well as wise. And the other one is just called evil. And the word faithful is coming from the same Greek word that refers to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So the faithful servant isn't one who is not making mistakes occasionally, but one who has forgiven his mistakes, and he does bear fruit of the Holy Spirit occasionally, which is the evidence for God that he truly is a believer.
Well, so the servant is any of those of us who are in Christ.
Every believer would be included in the faithful and wise servant.
And then the master is...
Well, I would say that's Jesus. Yes, God.
Okay. And the wicked servant are those who look like the faithful and wise servants, but aren't.
Yes. For example, Issues Etc. has a comment line, and one of them they play every now and then is about a person who says, well, you Christians really are crazy in what you believe. You think Jesus is coming back? Well, let me tell you, he's not coming back. And that fits perfectly with verse 48, where the evil servant says he's delaying his coming. and begins to beat his fellow servants. And that's exactly what that person who made the comment, he's beating on Christians for believing what seems to be irrational items, and he's making the comment that Jesus isn't coming back, and he's going to get a big surprise, isn't he?
Yeah, I think about that where John told his disciples, I am not the Messiah.
Yes.
But I must decrease so that he will increase. We make a mistake when we get offended because what is it, Romans 14, where it says, how do you judge someone else's servant? We know who we serve. The wicked servant obviously does not, but we're not called to judge him. We're just called to correct him. And if Jesus said when he was being tried for his crucifixion, you will see the Son of Man, and remember, he was under oath at that point, returning. So if his resurrection happened, then the angels witnessing to the fact that he would return and his ministry talking about his return, that's what we need to speak into that void of lies.
That's right. You were correct about the Romans 14, who are you to judge another servant. That is in light of the fact of what they were eating, for example. Some eat vegetables, some don't eat vegetables. Some eat meat offered to idols, some don't eat meat. And you're not to make a judgment on what he is eating as to whether or not he's faithful to the Lord if what is being done God permits choice over. And so, that would be a good verse to keep in mind. That was Romans 14, verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant?
I'm just saying that. And then when Jesus talked about what one among you calls his servant into the house and says, let me fix the plate for you and the table.
Right.
No, you tell him. You serve me, and then you can eat.
Yes.
And when we do what we've been told, that's only our duty. There's no reward for that.
Yes. That's exactly. Yeah, a lot of people really miss the meaning of that one, but you seem to have got it dead on.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor.
Okay, thank you so much for calling.
Good weekend.
All right, you too. Bye. I'm Tom Baker. You want to call in? 505-7850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Okay. Before converting to Lutheranism, writes another person, I took some free classes at another seminary. Does Concordia have something similar? I drive 1 hour each way to work and listen to recordings of Law and Gospel each way, but I like to get some more instruction in Lutheranism. We here on the campus of our radio station, where Concordia Seminary is, have a seminary that has items on the internet for teaching classes. In fact, my good friend James Veltz even teaches the Greek course he does at the seminary, and you can listen to that. There are so many opportunities, and I would encourage you, just go to Google and put in Concordia Seminary St. Louis, and then you'll see all kinds of opportunities there. Take a look for the Bible studies or the internet or iTunes. A lot of it is on iTunes. And in fact, there was one occasion not long ago when one of the Concordia Seminary classes was number one on iTunes being listened to. So Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, that's all you have to do is Google and search your computer, and it'll come up, and there'll be an opportunity there for you to kind of listen. And there are some great courses, and you can listen to them at your own time. See, you don't have to sit down and take 5 weeks and just listen the whole time. But no, don't worry about that at all. Hello, Pastor Tom from North Dakota. I've heard you talk about purgatory in previous shows. I know this teaching is not biblical and ridiculous, but I have many Roman Catholic friends that believe this. I'm wondering if you can provide me with some Bible verses on the subject. Well, I think one of the best Bible verses is, of course, Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. Because what we're talking about there are the sheep that immediately go to heaven. There's no purgatory mentioned at all. I mean, where is purgatory mentioned anywhere in the Bible? It just doesn't come about. There's this one parable, and it says he'll stay there until he pays the last penny. But if you listen carefully to the text, he never is able to pay the last penny, so he is there in that place forever and ever and ever. Then you have many other places in the Scripture where the end times are talking about, but 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 and following. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So we're talking about the last day, this judgment day. Some have already died in the faith, and Jesus is going to bring them in the spirit, because this is when they get reattached to their bodies. But for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heavens with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. That means the bodies in the graves. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Well, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I don't see anything there about purgatory. So that just isn't one of the points that's being made. Another passage I would like to use is the judgment day picture found in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So when Jesus returns, we're all not going to be in the grave. Some of us are going to be alive, but we're all going to be changed. And of course, the change is that new body. Well, he'll get to that. The trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, where's there anything here about, first of all, you got to go to purgatory in order to finish off paying for the consequences of your temporal sins. Then I'll take you to heaven. No, there's nothing about that here. I challenge anybody to find a place in the Scripture where somebody has to go somewhere to pay off the consequences of their temporal sins. There just is none. But you see, for Romans, that's not a problem, because Romans believe there are two sources of revelation: the Bible and tradition, which would include papal sayings, bishop sayings, various creedal sayings. In other words, the church can tell new information that's not found in the Bible, like praying to Mary. We don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Purgatory, nowhere in the Bible. Doing penance, nowhere in the Bible. So, Those are three of the Bible verses I would use if I had more time. I've got six more. But there's some great, great items that you can take a look on the internet. Look under Lutheran in Purgatory, and you'll find some articles that go into greater details. And the greater detail, of course, is dealing with Scripture. Because as Lutherans, part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which owns worldwide KFUO, we believe, teach, and confess that the Word of God not only creates faith, not the will of man, but it also sustains us in the faith. Well, that concludes this week. Remember, in, almost 11 hours from now, if you go to issuesetc.org, you'll be able to hear me at 1 a.m. talk for 2 hours on sanctification, good works, and I'll be bringing in law and gospel. But also Pastor Swirla from 11 to 1 on law and gospel. And you can listen to that live. Till Monday then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.